I've entitled the message today, The Great Invitation. The Great Invitation. There is something about, if you will, being invited to an event that maybe you have longed for or that you desire to go to. There's something about getting a special invitation. There is no better invitation. There is no better invitation than the two invitations I would like to share with you from John chapter 4 today. Let me tell you those two different invitations, and then let me break it down for us this morning. In John chapter 4, verses 1 to 42, we're going to look at two distinct invitations I call. First is the invitation to spiritual salvation. First is the invitation to spiritual salvation. There is no greater invitation than the invitation that God calls upon your life and my life for a salvation experience through His Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you so much that He desires to, if you will, to come after you, to run after you, to pursue you in a loving, viable relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It was my privilege this week to lead a 29-year-old man into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the joy of his face coming up off of his knees and just seeing the absolute transformation. I saw him again on Friday, and he is just gleaming. His eyes are just gleaming because of the transformation that's in his life. There is no better transformation than the transformation of the invitation to spiritual salvation. The second invitation, unfortunately, a lot of people seem to resist. And it's a special group of people, because it is only the people that have taken the first invitation to spiritual salvation, that they can be included in the second invitation. You can't be a part of the second invitation until you take the first invitation. So what I'm saying is, a lot of disciples, a lot of believers in Lord Jesus Christ, have not taken, for whatever reason or reasons, this second invitation. And the second invitation is the invitation to spiritual nourishment. The invitation to spiritual nourishment. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm nourished, all right. Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment. So let me go ahead and begin the process of looking at the first one, if you will. The first one, the invitation to spiritual salvation, beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, reading from the NIV version, the New International Version. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Immediately, someone with a little bit of knowledge will say, see, Jesus was baptizing. You always have to read the whole scope of the context of the story before you say something, or rather before you put your foot in your mouth, if you will. And verse 3, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized. Now, I want you to think about that. God, He's smart. There ain't no way. That's bad English. There isn't any way that Jesus would have baptized anybody, because could you imagine those early disciples saying, Jesus baptized me, ha, 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 He baptized me, He didn't baptize you. You know, Jesus does not play favorites. That's why salvation is for every single person. A few moments before this chapter, Jesus says, whosoever will call upon the name of whom, Jesus shall be saved. So it was not Jesus who baptized, but His disciples. Verse 3, when the Lord heard of this, He left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour, which meant in that time, the Jewish time, it was 12 noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone in the town to buy food. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to Him, you are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would not have asked Him, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks the water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, where you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. So many amazing things happen in this particular part of the text. Number one is the Samaritans and Jews did not necessarily get along. The Samaritan was a half-Jew. Part of the family was a Jew and the other part was not, and they were called the Samaritans. They were not very nice people to each other. Back in that day, Jews necessarily did not ever talk to a woman, and necessarily never to a woman out in public. It would just not happen in that day. Most of you know that our Bible scholars know that women were not treated very kindly back in this day. And particularly dealing with a woman and also a Samaritan woman, you had two no-nos altogether there. But here Jesus starts up in this conversation, because this woman is at the well, and starts talking about the spiritual salvation. Jesus talking with a woman, but also sharing about that salvation that only comes in the Messiah called Jesus Christ. Jesus was not only valuing women to talk to, but also the other thing that you need to see here is that he valued women even, watch, to save them. There's two different systems here. He's not only valuing the woman to talk, but also valued her enough to save her, because the rest part of the text towards the end, you will see that she does get transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it starts what's called the Samaritan revival. Many people have come to know Christ because of this Samaritan woman who goes back and tells everybody that she had met Jesus and that she was changed because of what had happened with Jesus Christ. You see, spiritual salvation is all about something in which you cannot see. It is about faith. Now, there is something that is going on in our culture today that's kind of it's words that we hear, and sometimes because we're in Christ, we think they're saying the same thing. For example, when people say, I have faith, faith always has to have an object. And they'll say, I have faith. Well, what do you have faith in? Or they'll say, I'm spiritual. And then when you ask them, well, what are you spiritual about? Well, I'm spiritual about my faith. Okay, you're spiritual about your faith, but where's your faith in? And people will just stop. I'm absolutely serious. They will stop. Because, you see, they picked up these coin phrases to somehow offset people that want to maybe share with them a little further, and the people that don't understand or are not who are not understanding that faith has to have an object. That is why it's fascinating to me, as it is fascinating to you, that believers don't ever mention the name of Jesus. Hello? You heard me. Believers don't even mention the name of Jesus. They mention God. So I say to them, I say, well, do you have a personal God? And they look at you, what are you talking about? Now, those of you that are like a little bit older, maybe back when you were growing up, you heard God and you had a right away with Jesus Christ. That's not, we are not living in the 60s. We're not living in the 70s. We're not living in the 80s. We are living in 2017, and the word God is used a lot. Which God? The dead God or the living God? Hello? Did you hear what I said? The dead God or the living God? How many of you would rather serve the living or the dead? Go and say it out loud. Yeah, the living God. And the only living God is whom? Jesus. Because he came back from the grave. Hello? Hello? So now, if you don't mention the living name of Jesus, where is your faith? Well, I have faith in my mom or dad. I understand that. I have faith in car. I have faith in this or that. But this is a spiritual salvation, and your spiritual salvation is based and rooted in the one that can only give you salvation, and his name is whom? Jesus. And there's people all around us that don't know that, ladies and gentlemen. People that have gone to church don't know what I'm sharing with you. What are you talking about? It's like me saying to you, all, how many of you just pay attention to every word I say? Please stand up. Look at that. Not a one of you stood up. Oh, you kind man, just sweeter than, we got some people that are sweeter than sweet, amen? All right, I'll buy you that meal later on, Anna. Thank you for standing, making it look good. You know, you understand what I'm trying to say, okay? So when we go out and engage people, when we go out and try to invite them to a service to start a new beginning, as the Lord's Spirit empowers you, you say, we're going to start a new beginning with whom? Jesus, don't be afraid of the name. Don't be afraid of the name Jesus Christ. Please say the name. If that means you've got to stand in front of the mirror and say Jesus 100 times for the courage, do it. For he did not give us a spirit of timidity, but he gave us a spirit of what? Power, of love, and of self-discipline. Could you imagine if every single believer this week said the name of Jesus daily? If they're around people, what could happen? I know some of you are not around people because of your jobs and you're in a cubicle. I understand that. But if you're around people saying the name of Jesus, giving people the permission, a good friend of mine, mentor, he started as a mentor and became a friend of mine, Kobe Cameron, has just left this Chick-fil-A across the street, and he's gone up into Alpharetta, and he's at another store. And on Friday, I went to see him, and I talked to him a little bit, and I took him by the hand, and I said, Kobe, I just want to encourage you that we've been a good team together. You've grown in the Lord Jesus Christ, and during these 6 years, you have sent me individuals that you felt that needed to go a little bit further in Jesus, and praise the Lord that we've had numerous encounters where some of their co-workers would have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to Kobe, I said, now Kobe, you're going to all our Alpharetta, so this is the deal. You're going to set up appointments for me. He said, what? I said, I'll come on Friday afternoon. We'll start at 1 o'clock in a cubicle and just give me five people, one at one, one at two, one at three, one at four, one at five. Hey, amen? And I said, if that's what it takes to help you out, I'm willing to do it because I'm willing to share Jesus with anybody. How about you? See, in the invitation is for every single person to come to know Jesus Christ, even though if they were outcast, even though the world didn't like them. The Samaritans, the Jewish people said, no, we're not dealing with the Samaritans. And even in that time, when it was unheard of a male talking to a female and valuing them enough that would even talk to them about spiritual matters. What I want to tell you tonight, every single human being that you come in contact is worthy for you to tell them about Jesus Christ. I don't care what color they are. I don't care where they've been, especially they've been in New Jersey. Hallelujah. Boy, the New Jerseyans need Jesus. Well, so do people in Georgia. Amen back at you there, Georgians. So the invitation starts and begins with serious salvation. And if you're sitting there today and don't have that salvation, Jesus loves you, values you enough to die on the cross. And he was resurrected from the dead to give you the greatest gift, the gift welling up to eternal life. Who can satisfy my soul? Amy sang. And it is only Jesus that can satisfy your soul. Only Jesus that can come inside and change you. But maybe for most of you here today, it's the second part that you're lacking. I did not miss my words there. I said that with a purpose. That you are lacking. And that's the invitation to spiritual nourishment. Let's continue the story. Verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" Or, "Why are you talking with her?" They were just really surprised. They were taken back by it. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town. Now, isn't that interesting? What happens when you get spiritual salvation? Everything changes about you. She was coming to the well to get what? Water. Look what she says there in verse 28. Look at the scriptures. Then, leaving her water jar. Do you know what happens when someone comes to know Christ? Their world is so changed that everything changes. And here for this woman, everything is changing for her. That the very reason which she came for, she going back without the what? Water jar. Hello. Now this is significant. Because she is about to do something that most believers will not do. Watch what happens. Verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Hey, this is a woman. She doesn't mind telling everybody something has changed in her life. She did not go to the Sunday school class before she told somebody. She did not get a degree in theology. She did not even go to church, a worship experience. She did not even sing, "How Great Thou Art." All she does is go back and say, "Hey, come on. I want you to discover what I have found. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Wow. Verse 31. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the reaper draws his wages. Even now he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. I send you to reap what you've not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Jesus is saying, "Hey, I have some spiritual nourishment for my soul, and the nourishment for my soul is doing that which I have come to do, and that is to point people to the one who brought me to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. I am due, and you are to point people to Jesus Christ. And if you and I are to point people to Jesus Christ, you receive spiritual nourishment. All of us here love to eat. We all have a favorite thing, whether it be steak and potatoes, spaghetti or lobster, shrimp or pizza, or a bologna sandwich. And what that food does, it nourishes your body in a physical way so that you can go on. Do you understand what happens when you and I are about what Jesus is about? When you and I are about sharing the seeds of the gospel of Christ, it does something to our spirit and it nourishes us and it remains within us and encourages us of what he has done in our lives on a repeated occasion. Do you know what happens to you when you repeat and tell people that you were once a sinner and that you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever form, whatever method? Do you understand what that does to your soul? And when you don't do it, you are spiritually malnourished. And when you become spiritually malnourished, you're not good for the kingdom's work. Hello. Hello. And when you don't do what God has called you to do, do you know what happens? You fight. Hello. Hello. I have never heard of a soul-winning church fighting with each other. I've never heard of a church that is seeking souls to fight with each other. There might be the temporary fight until everything gets kind of cleared out and you have a bunch of the soul winners in the congregation and a bunch of people realizing that, hey, this body of Christ is about bringing people to Jesus Christ and growing them up in the Lord. It's not about the choir. It's not about the drummer guy or the drummer lady or the guy on the piano or the man behind the pulpit. It is all about Jesus Christ and lifting up and proclaiming his name. That we were dead and we were found. I was lost. I was undone. I came to know Jesus Christ and I received that malnourishment. He loved enough to share. He loved enough to be obedient. He loved enough to teach how one could have spiritual food to eat. And Jesus was doing that with the disciples. The disciples then and disciples now still do not understand what Jesus is talking about here. It is simply about you and I communicating what Christ has done or is doing in our lives. That's what the Samaritan woman did. That's it. Now look what happens here in verse 39. The Samaritan woman goes back to the town, right? And say, hey, all she does is say, hey, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Verse 39, many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him, believed in Jesus because of what? Whose testimony? The woman's testimony. The woman that was forgotten by the Jews. The woman that the Jews did not want to talk to. The woman that men would not even talk to. Matter of fact, this is called the Samaritan revival. Because of the woman's testimony, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. He goes and stays with the Samaritans for 2 days because of the gumption and the power of this woman that was a nobody. We don't even know her name. And that is the whole point. That's the whole point. A number of years ago, I preached a sermon, Do the Demons Know Your Name? Do the demons know your name? In hell, is your name up on the board? How many of you remember that sermon? 1, 2. Cindy, please raise your hand. She's not paying attention, really. She's dealing with them. And Natalie, you were here too. So both of you, just pretend to raise your hand. For my sake, just pretend it. Just raise your hand. See? Okay. All right, there's 4 of you. All right. Well, it's time to bring that sermon back. Now here's the thought. When the demons wake up, oh, he's up. Oh, she's up. Come on, we got to go. We got to get on him or her. Because if we don't, all he or she's going to talk about is the one who changed his life, Jesus. Don't worry about those others. They don't ever talk about Jesus. They don't ever mention his name. No, worry about Bob. Worry about Darren. Worry about Ben. Worry about Felicia. Worry about Amy. Worry about Rebecca. Worry about Natalie. They are the soul winners. Get them. Get them discouraged. Get them off task. You see, Satan does not want you or I to say anything to anybody about Jesus. He'd rather you keep on going to church. And we got, you know, those statistics. I don't know where, I'm at the point is I don't know where they get statistics anymore. But it used to be that 95% of believers in the church never said the name of Jesus. That means 5 out of 100. I don't know if it's true or not. I have no clue. But 5 out of 100 will ever share Christ with anybody and anywhere. And I don't know about you. That sounds kind of pathetic. Anybody agree with me? Sounds kind of pathetic. All right? I don't know. So, this spiritual nourishment is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives you this nourishment. And you are identifying with the very reason that he came to this earth. Because you're in John, turn to the right. We got to wrap this up. Turn to the right in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God would so impress upon Paul's heart to kind of wrap this thing about the spiritual nourishment. And he says here in verse 14, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, the Word of God says, "For Christ's love compels us." His love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, and those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Hallelujah. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, hallelujah, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of spiritual nourishment. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed us the message of reconciliation. There is not a one of us here today that feel in any way, any shape, any odor, any ideal at all, that we are worthy to talk about the holy Lord Jesus Christ. But yet nowhere in this scripture does it say that I have to be holy. Nowhere does it say I have to reach some type of standard. If the Samaritan woman can be used by God to create such an environment that many would come to know this Jesus, and that Jesus would stay there a couple of days with the Samaritans. Could you imagine the disciples talking? I'm not going in there. I'm not going there, Jesus. I am. Jesus, don't go. I am. Jesus, don't go. I am. Imagine the second day in my sanctified imagination, Peter going along. Thomas says, I ain't going. I ain't never going. I'm not going to those holy unpeople. No. I could just see Peter just dragging. Ever thought about that's why God called Peter the way he did? Peter's the only one, by the way, that got out of the boat. Because he had what? Faith in whom? Jesus. Faith in whom? Jesus. Faith as an object. Faith in whom? Jesus. Where's your faith? Well, my faith is... No, your faith, if it's not in Jesus, it's empty. Period. Why my faith in my church? Oh, my goodness. And a lot of people do. I'm not trying to say anything in disrespect to what's up at the church or any church that you love. But let me tell you something. This building, the church, is not going to last as long as Jesus. Do you hear an amen? Okay. And though we represent Jesus in the best way and best form we can, and we respect this place, we stand up on the shoulders of those, you know, who gave sacrificially. You know, everything about that? Everything about that, many of you are in a sanctuary where people gave sacrificially back in the 80s, I mean the 70s, and you enjoy that sacrificial time, and when a call for you to call to give sacrificially, you come up with a penny. Isn't it interesting sometimes it just gets quiet in the sanctuary? It's one of those times when the Spirit of God. See, we're on the top of the shoulders of those who went on before us. Those individuals that were led by the Lord to put a church on this corner. Who would have thought that all nations would have come to Snellville, Georgia? Who would have thought all nationalities would come to Georgia? And they got churches on different spots. They're lifting up whom? Jesus, the Lord and Savior. And the church people are worrying about the music they're singing. The church people are worrying about what time of worship. And God says, I'm not worrying about the type of music. Nothing gets your music. I'm not worrying about the time. I'm worrying about who are you lifting up. Who are you talking about in your conversations? Hello. Isn't it interesting where the poor people in Cobb County, their life is being changed because of the welcome home mentality. The Atlanta Braves are back at home. Amen? Welcome home. Welcome home. And those poor Cobb people, every time there's a game, about 20, 30 minutes getting home for them. Getting home for them, getting home for them. What's that got to do with the sermon? Well, unlike the welcome home mentality of the Atlanta Braves, there is another welcome home. Jesus wants to welcome every single person into his kingdom. And guess who he wants to use? This sounds so crazy. He wants to use you. Yeah, you. That's funny. What you laughing about? He wants to use you too. Oh, Mark, he wants to use you too. Oh, man, all the way from Sacramento, California. He wants to use you. What are you laughing about?
I was laughing because you were there.
Boy, isn't that something? He wants to get me off the subject. See, this says basketball. Basketball is my game, but Jesus is my life. Jesus is my life. Yeah, it is funny. It is funny that God would want to use unholy people. Unholy people like you and me. But nowhere does it say. He just says, I want to use you. And if he can use a Samaritan, nothing against the Samaritan woman, I'm just kind of using that as an example. I can identify with that. He has such a sense of humor. Would you agree? Yeah, just look at your wife, and she's so beautiful, and you're trying to figure out, why in the world did she say yes to you, right? Amen. You married up. Amen. Amen. Married on up. God has such a sense of humor. Hey, Miss Charlotte, how you doing? Miss Charlotte is one of the, what are they called? One of the charter members. I know Miss Charlotte. I know when you got together with that group and you said, let's put that church in that corner because I can't wait to have a New Jerseyan come and pastor this church. Look at her laughing. Look at her laughing. Give her a tissue. She's crying to so much laughter. It's so funny, isn't it, Miss Charlotte? That's what you had on your mind. That's what you had on your mind, that God would call a New Jersey punk to pastor the church that you and your husband and so many of your sacrificing gave, that you would have a New Jersey punk. Never in my mind. That's right. All right, that's enough. Don't say anything else, you know. All right, we'll just stop right there. We don't want her in any kind of trouble. That's what I'm referring to. If God can use the Samaritan woman, then guess what? Take your finger, point it to yourself. Yeah. He can use you. I know it sounds crazy. Laugh about it, cry about it, moan about it, whatever. But he does. The question is, we have 2 weeks, right? Start a new beginning. Start a new beginning. The choir's going to sing. I'm going to share God's word, and then we're going to have luncheon together. A free luncheon. We're asking you to bring unchurched people, not people from other churches. Unchurched people. Well, so I'm not staying for lunch. It's okay. Still invite them. Tell them they can stay for lunch, but just be upfront. Say, I'm not able to stay for lunch because I got other arrangements. It's okay. Truth is just great for people. Just share truth. If they don't go to lunch, it's okay. At least I'm going to hear the sermon, right? Hear the word of God through the music, right? That's what we're talking about. So we're doing this to try to do something to help some unchurched people to hear about whom? Jesus Christ. Just a simple way. That's all. But we need you to join us. Well, Pastor, what if I invite 100 people and don't come? Okay. All right. At least you've been obedient. Okay? Success is not determined by the response of the person. It's determined by your obedience to what God's put on your heart. And this is what God's put on our heart. To spiritually nourish our souls with the telling in our unique ways about Jesus Christ. That's the great invitation. Some of you have already taken the great invitation. You have spiritual salvation. Hallelujah. You're to die, you're going to heaven. Hallelujah. But now we want you to take the next step. And the invitation is spiritual nourishment. For those you've already taken, continue it. Continue it. Continue telling others about Jesus Christ. For others you've never done that, hey, today could be a brand new. I got up this morning, and I'm 90, and I'm 101 days since surgery. And I've had 2 days already this week, I've had no drugs in my system. Cindy knows that during this time, my brain has been messed up. Don't even think about it, and don't even say anything either. As I was saying, and I got up this morning, and I just, there's a new step. And I said, hon, today I take back my life. I am taking my life back. That's right. I'm taking it by faith. Because while I feel I've been through the last 100 days of this different drugs and all this kind of stuff and all this pain and all my pain has subsided quite a bit, I've done 20,000 steps in 2 days. And there's been no swelling in my knee. Just for those of you who had knee surgeries, you know what I'm talking about, right, Miss Shirley? You know what I'm talking about? The pain has subsided quite a bit. And it's almost like I'm taking my life back. Boom! I feel like I'm a brand new person. Brand new. Didn't think I'd ever get here. Maybe for some of you, this message is speaking to you. I've stopped nourishing my soul. I've allowed the world to just literally knock me down and out. Hello, okay? But it's time to take it back. It's time for you to get about the business that Lord Jesus Christ has saved you for. It's to be like that of the Samaritan woman. To say, hey, I want to tell you about the one who told me everything about me. And his name is Jesus. What would happen if every single one of us here today would make that commitment in our heart, not for any kind of a show, but actions would follow it. Actions would follow it. What could God do in your life and in my life? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for the greatest invitation that you've given us, the invitation to know you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Lord. With your head bowed and eye closed, I invite you to take the greatest invitation the invitation to spiritual salvation. Right where you're sitting, Jesus said, repent and believe. Right where you are, you can say, dear God, I have sinned. And today, I want to repent of my unbelief. And Jesus, today, I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Jesus, would you please come into my heart and give me spiritual salvation. In the name of Jesus, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you just prayed that prayer and meant it, or something like that, the angels are rejoicing. The angels throw a party when a sinner comes home. And we would love to rejoice with you here now. In just a moment, we're going to stand and get an invitation. And as you would just ask Jesus to come inside your life, would you come and tell me? Would you come and do that? Maybe for those of us here today, it's going to that next step. It's taking charge in the realm of spiritual nourishment. And Lord, you're going to pray something like, Lord, give me the courage. May I be bold and courageous. Like this Samaritan woman. And to be used by you in simply sharing with people what Jesus has done or is doing in my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Man, if you just pray something like that and you want to share it with someone, you come share it with me or share it with a friend of yours next to you or just keep it to yourself. That's okay. But if we can help you spiritually with anything here today, this altar is open. It always is open. If you want to come and pray, if God is calling you to this church and you don't know how you want to join, I can talk with you and help you with that. If you know that your next step is believer's baptism, you have been in Christ, but God's Spirit has been wounding you. It's time for you to be obedient. Will you come? Come to me. Father, have your way in this place as we stand and sing. Give us a courageous spirit to respond if that is what you want us to do individually. In the name of Jesus, would you please stand? You come.